fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. I hope you're having a good morning. Start your day. I want to start today by chewing on some of the teaching of St. Peter. Yesterday, we celebrated the feast of the chair of St. Peter, and that chair symbolizes the teaching authority of the Pope and of Peter. And Peter being the first Pope, I've thought a lot about him, and he's my namesake. I love St. Peter. He's such an inspiration to me, and I love his letters. If you haven't had a chance to read St. Peter's letters, I'd encourage you to do that. They are just so rich. They're short. They're easy to read. But you can really touch the heart of St. Peter and see the transformation that the Lord has worked in his life and to take great encouragement from that. Because you remember, as I said yesterday, where Peter was at one time, he was always running into his own weakness. At one moment, he stands up and he makes the great confession of who Jesus is under the power of the Holy Spirit through the help of the Father, God the Father. And he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah." And Jesus is delighted and he's touched because the Father has revealed to Peter the mystery that was really hidden in the Father and the mystery shared between the Father and the Son about who Jesus is and his mission. And Jesus is delighted to see that his good friend Peter has begun to grasp who he is by a miracle of the Father's love and showing that to Peter. But just moments later, when Jesus says, "Okay, this is who I am, and now this is where I'm going. The Messiah must suffer. The Messiah has to die." Why? Because of human sin and the sin problem. And here, friends, we're in that season of Lent when the church takes us by the hand and puts in front of us, puts before us the teaching, really, of the Old and New Testament, the prophets declaring to us every day, exhorting us to come out of habit patterns of sin, to turn from idolatry and sins of the flesh and pride and anger, just like the people of Israel were called out by the prophets. But then we see the gospel readings and the journey now that the apostles are having as they get closer to Calvary. And a lot gets revealed in each one of them. Their fear as human beings, their weakness, they're fickle, and they're under the domination, most importantly, they're still under the domination of the powers of sin and death, and they're being manipulated at times by the enemy because they're under sin. Jesus is going to break that power, and we see that in the life of St. Peter so dramatically that the one who made that first confession, but then Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan," when Peter tried to stand in the way, thinking he was doing the right thing, thinking in the flesh and not in the spirit, standing in the way of protecting Jesus in his mind from going to Calvary. And Jesus said, "No, this is the will of God. Listen, Peter, this is the destiny of the Messiah, and you're going to walk with me." And then later, of course, Peter, wanting to be loyal to Jesus, says, I'm going to be with you through thick and thin. Count on me. I'm your man." And what does Jesus say to him? "Peter, tonight, the whole thing's going to fall apart for you. It's going to be so dramatic, Peter, you're going to deny that you even knew me." And he's stunned, he's shocked. "Never. I'll never do that." Peter didn't understand, after even 3 years of walking with Jesus, he did not yet grasp the depth of his own depravity, his own weakness, his own sinfulness, his own concupiscence. But Jesus had mercy toward Peter. He knew exactly who Peter was, and it was on Peter that he was going to build his church, which is so amazing. Then we see in Acts chapter 2, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had told them, "You'll be clothed with power from on high," he told the apostles, "and you'll be my witnesses. You'll go forth and you'll proclaim the forgiveness of sins." And as Peter says in Acts chapter 10, "Declare to all that I'm the one who's going to come to judge the living and the dead." So Peter saw, and the Holy Spirit empowered Peter in a new way, gave him a new power and a new capacity to step into the vocation and the calling that Jesus had for his life. And what is the first thing that Peter declares? The very same thing that he declared when Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And with the help of the Father, he said, "Thou art the Messiah." Now, the Spirit of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, is given to Peter on that day of Pentecost. And Peter goes forth, leads the brothers from that upper room, and he declares that God desires that everyone understand, that all of Israel understand, that God has made Jesus both Lord and Messiah, that all authority and power have been given to Jesus, and he's the Messiah who's come to lay down his life, the suffering servant, for the sake of the salvation of the world. So Peter is now moving in the authority and the grace that Jesus has given to him. And I just want to read a couple of sections today, maybe tomorrow as well, from Peter's first letter. Such a beautiful letter. He's writing to a community of a small band of brothers and sisters that he has raised up. He's shepherding. They're suffering. They're under lots of trial. Life is not easy for them. They're being persecuted. They're marginalized by society. They have no power, no influence. They're kind of nobodies on that. But Peter knows who they are, and they do too. As he said earlier in the first chapter, they've come to love Jesus. I've talked about this many times in the program, especially over the last year, because this letter has really been touching me very deeply. The brethren who were persecuted, marginalized, they were filled with unexpressible, exalted joy. Their lives were filled with joy, though they had nothing in this world that they could really rejoice in. Their relationships with one another, but the great gift of grace and a share in the glory that belongs to Christ that Peter loved to talk about. But I'll start with verse 13 in chapter 1. We'll see where we get today and maybe continue it tomorrow. It says, "Therefore, gird up your minds, be sober, set your hope fully upon the grace that is coming to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." You know, we could spend a whole week on this one verse, friends. It says, "Therefore, gird up your minds." What does that mean? You know, the image is, in the old days, you know, in the ancient world, people wore the long garments. They didn't have pants like we have today, right? And they had a belt. And often when they'd have to go somewhere, hurry or to run, they'd sort of lift up that skirt and hold on. They would gird their loins so they could go. And it's an image of, like, taking action, being clear-headed, being decisive. Here it says, gird up your mind. So be alert in your mind. Be sober. Be clear-headed. Set your hope. What is your hope? Set the confidence that you have. Hope is the confident expectation of the fulfillment of our lives because of the promises of God, right? He said, so set that hope, that confidence, fully upon the grace, that is the gift that is coming to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's a great exhortation that would be important for you and me to internalize now. Jesus said, and the church preaches and believes in her creeds, he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. He will come again, but he's going to come again with all power and all authority and in full glory. And we're going to see our King come in that glorious power to definitively establish his reign. And there will be a full revelation for all to see, Jesus' followers and those who oppose Christ. And all the evil spirits of the kingdom of darkness are going to see the full majesty and glory of Jesus revealed. And all the kings of the earth and all the powers of the earth and all those with all the money and the influence who live in their pomp and in their power, they're going to see in an instant how empty and small it all is in the face of the majesty and glory of Jesus. Everything else will pass away, Peter's going to tell us at the end of this section. Everything else is grass. What lasts is Christ, his kingdom, his power, his authority, the new heaven and the new earth. Everything else we should be able to let go of and not cling to in any way. We should find our identity in Christ. So he's saying now, take action in your mind. Focus on the return of the Lord. Remember that your life is short and you're going to meet him. You're going to stand before the King someday. Maybe in your lifetime, the Lord will come again. We don't know. But be ready, be alert, be sober, be clear-headed. Verse 14, you know, the enemy wants to put us to sleep. He wants to dull us in the world, that fallen dimension of the world, which is so completely focused on feeding us every day with distractions that literally put us to sleep. Perpetual entertainment, for example, to constantly habituate ourselves to becoming distracted, so that we don't think about what really matters. Here's Peter saying, set your mind fully on this. Well, the world is saying, set your mind on 10 million things that we're going to serve up to you, and we're going to addict you to at such a level, and you're going to be so desperately in need of it, you're going to spend tons of money, you know, begging to be distracted, to numb yourself and your boredom and your confusion and your lack of joy and sense of purpose and meaning. That's the energy of the world. Peter's saying, wake up, friends. Wake up, brothers and sisters. Be clear-headed in your mind. You got to fight against that in the spirit. And how you fight against it is set all your confidence and all your hope and your longing on the return of the Lord and his kingdom. Verse 14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. So we're the children of God. That's not a condescending image. He's saying as obedient children. Of course, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. Jesus told the apostles in the only passage in the entire New Testament, in John chapter 4, verse 31, where Jesus says to the apostles, I do everything the Father commands me to do because I want the whole world to know that I love the Father. How does Jesus express his total, absolute love and surrender to the Father? By obeying his commands. Jesus says the same thing to us. Follow me. If you'll love me, you'll keep my commandments. So saying, he gave us power, St. John tells us, all of us, in baptism, because of his passion, death, resurrection, his authority, he's given us power to become children of God. That's our great dignity. So as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. Do not be conformed. Formed with. Jesus has called us to become like him. He calls us, and Paul reminds us so vividly in the letter to the Colossians, put off the old man, put on the new man. Be conformed to Christ in our mind and our will and our whole being. We want to walk like Jesus. Dr. Peter Kraft often says, you know, we're meant to be little Christs, little Jesus, right? And the Holy Spirit is building that in us. But he's saying now, you have to be clear-headed. You have to make a decision that you want to walk in the will of God and that you want to make a break from the habit patterns you once had in your former ignorance. What is he talking about here? Well, first of all, ultimately, ignorance of God and God's plan and God's purpose. Where have I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? What really matters in this world, right, is for me to walk in obedience to God. It's not for me to get ahead. It's not for me to be the biggest, the brightest, the best. It's for me to be the best thing, the person God has made me to be to the fullest, yes. But the former ignorance that we walk in is we forget God. We put secondary things first. We say yes to our flesh. That former ignorance, which doesn't acknowledge God, we've talked many times in the program, I think it's revealed so powerfully in Romans chapter 1, when St. Paul talks about that human tendency, because of the power of sin in us, to suppress the truth about God. We don't want to acknowledge God or to give him thanks. We don't want to walk in his will and purpose. We don't want to subdue our drives and our passions. And so Peter's saying, friends, we all once lived that way. And we were dominated by the empty futility of that darkened mind. But as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Here's Peter's underlined fundamental call that each one of us have been given from God. This is our fundamental purpose in this world. So I want to take this up again tomorrow, friends. Have a great day and walk with St. Peter. Let him be your friend as he teaches you from his letter. God bless you. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbig, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Use Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.